God says now is the time to worship. Come. Come on, the altar's open. Get down here and have a party for what Jesus did. Amen. Come. Now is the time to worship. Oh, come. Now is the time to give your heart. Come. Just as you are to worship. Just as you are before your God.
Hey, come. One day.
And one day every tongue will confess you are God. And one day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. The time to worship. Oh, come. Now is the time to give your heart. Come. Just as you are to worship. Hey, come. Just as you are before. Choose you now. Oh, one day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow.
Lift it up, come on.
Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. To come. Now is the time to worship.
Come on, every voice.
One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now.
One day every tongue will confess you are God.
One day every knee will bow.
You're still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come on, give God some praise. Oh, we come now, we come now to worship, Holy Spirit, you are here, Holy Spirit, come, yes, oh.
Continue to press in.
Falling down like rain, love that I can't explain, peace that stills my soul. Light in the darkest place, in the heat of pain, feels like coming home.
Where the Spirit.
Where the Spirit. I'm alive.
Pastor Chip to come over for a second, and I'd like you all to stretch your arms out towards him, if you would, please. Father God, I love my brother in Christ. I thank you for the good things that are happening. But Lord, as we get prepared for this word, help us to truly be prepared to receive it, that we don't look at the person that's delivering the message, but who the message is from. And I would just ask, Father God, that as you use this man for your tool at this moment in time, for such a purpose and such a time as this, that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see. That again, this would not be one more part of the service, a religious thing, it's another box that we have to check. But that, Father God, that what we're seeking is what you have to say for us this day, how we can apply it, that we don't just let it go in one ear and out the other, but that, Father God, what takes place would honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Oh, come on. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
There you go. Now it sounds like you're happy to be in the house of the Lord today.
Amen.
Hey, now listen. It is a day. Does anybody know what today is?
This is the day the Lord has made.
I will rejoice and be glad in it. Yes, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, I want to share something with you before I get started today, if I can, please. On Wednesdays, we come in here for an hour of prayer, which usually turns into two and a half hours, you know, never get it done in an hour. But when you get in the presence of God, you don't want to get out. And this past Wednesday, Kenny was playing the piano, and I was down on my face in front on this altar over here on this side, and I was just seeking God, and I said, hey, God, speak to me today. And he started talking to me. And Kenny started playing that song, Come, Now is the Time to Worship. Okay? And I got listening to that song. I said, Lord, what are you doing? And he said, well, do you believe the other song you just sang? God is so good. He's so good to me. Right? Do you believe that? Do you believe God's good to you? Okay, so if he's good to you, why wouldn't you want to worship him? And he says, hey, Chip, he says, I just want you to get on your face in front of me, and I just want you to begin to worship me. And I just began to worship him, man, and I just felt the presence come over me. And he says, good, now you're smarter than a bag of rocks. And I said, what are you talking about, Lord? And he says, because Jesus said, if you don't worship me, I'll cause these stones to cry out and they'll worship me. And I said, Lord, thank you. I'm now smarter than a bag of rocks, okay? When we get in here, man, we need to stop and we need to think about how good God is, about all the things that he's done for us, what he's still doing for us, what he's going to do for us here, and what he's already done for us in the next life. Amen. And when you hear that stuff, man, we should be singing, yeah, God, you are good. There is none like unto you. Oh, my golly. Man, when you get on your face and you just start to worship like that, and then he led me into the next part of what he wanted to tell me. And Kenny's song lined up with the next part. And then he told me about the third part. And Kenny played the third song, and it was perfect. And, man, I'm just up here weeping and bawling before the Lord, just thanking him, just worshiping him. You see, because praise leads to worship, and worship leads us right into the throne room of God. And when we get in his presence, you know where we never want to leave? I never want to leave his presence. I love it when I get there. And so, man, thank you. Thank you that the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. So as we were singing today, there was a sweet, sweet sound that was going up to God. And God inhabits the praises of his people. Man, that's awesome. I'm waiting, and I'm excited about this worship the great I am thing, where we can get together with people from all across the world, and they're all coming here to do one thing. You know what that is? To praise God and to worship the great I am.
Amen.
One day, every knee's going to bow, and every tongue's going to confess that Christ is Lord. Why do we have to wait till then? Why don't we just start doing it now with the way that we praise and worship him? Why don't we do that now with the way that we live our lives? Man, we just have so much to be thankful for. So thank you, man. Praise and worship has been awesome. I can't remember when the last time I was that I was up here. We've had too many good speakers, and I haven't had a chance to get up here, so it's nice to be up here again. And I got something. I got something I want to share with you today. How many of you need some good news in your life today?
Amen.
Hey? I'm going to give you some good news. You know what the gospel is? The good news of Jesus Christ. So guess what? We're going to get out of the world, and we're going to get into the word, and we're going to get into the good news. Okay? And when we get into this, there's some things in here that it's okay if you clap. It's okay if you shout amen or hallelujah when you hear it, because you're going to want to. And if you don't, you're dead. Okay? Now, you're not going to believe this, but I'm going to try to finish this message. But I don't know. The Spirit hasn't told me that it's over yet. The name of the message today is Gifts Part 3. And every time I think I got this book studied and everything I got this chapter studied, the Spirit says, you ain't even scratched the surface. Go back and read it again. And every time I read it again, the Spirit just reveals new things to me. And it's just like, wow. Man, I hope I can convey that to this congregation today. So in here, let's just jump right into the word, okay? So let's jump in here. In Ephesians, this is Paul speaking. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Man, what a way to describe yourself. I'm a prisoner of God. I'm a prisoner of God. I want to be that prisoner of God. I want to be in debt. I want to be in love. I want to be totally sold out. I want to be a prisoner for God. Okay? He says something here, though. I beseech you. I love that word. That's why I made it yellow. I beseech you. Okay? That you walk worthy. You know, that means that you walk like you belong there, like it's part of what you should be doing, that you understand what you're doing, and that you're glad that you're doing it. Walk worthy of the vocation, the job wherewith you were called. Okay, so let me just say one thing here. I want you to say these two words. Walk worthy of the vocation of wherein you were called. So I want you to say, I am called. You are called. And when we're called, this is the way we're supposed to walk. Oh, I'm a Christian. God's so good. Mm-hmm. Huh? Why we do that then? Huh? Are we ashamed of the vocation that God's called us to be? No. He called us to be a Christian, right? And he says, walk worthy of it. Because that's what I've called you to do. Now go to the next one here. I want to get through this first part because we've done this before. This is just repeating that. It was just about the calling is a job, or what you've been called to do is a vocation or a job, okay? With all lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, okay? So what are some of the sins that we deal with? The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So if we walk around all proud, saying, hey, look at me. God chose me, but he didn't choose you. What am I walking in? Pride. But he says, walk in lowliness in the vocation you've called. Now, walk worthy, but don't go running around saying, ha ha, I got it, and you don't. Because we all got a calling on our life. Amen. Okay? So we're supposed to walk lowly. How did Christ walk when he was walking on the earth? He was the King of Kings, the Son of God. And how did he walk when he was upon this earth? He was always bragging about that, right? No. He walked lowly and with meekness. And he was always long-suffering with the people that he was dealing with. Huh. How many of you are long-suffering? Sometimes I don't have the patience to be long-suffering. But he says we should be long-suffering with one another. Forbearing one another in what?
Love.
Okay, go to the next one. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Okay, endeavoring means to go on and on and on and on and on. And I want to stop right here and I want to talk to you about something. How many of you know who Lucifer was or still is? Lucifer was the most beautiful angel in all of heaven. And you know what he was in charge of? Praise and worship. He was in charge of praise and worship. And he goes one day and he starts this rumor up in heaven. And he says, hey, you know, God doesn't love us. And if we ran heaven, we could do a better job. And he starts spreading this lie and this deceit amongst the other angels. And it says that 1/3 of the angels believed what he said. Now, I want you to listen to this because this is very important. Right? And God looks at Lucifer and what he's done. God wasn't upset that the angels thought they could run heaven better. What God was upset with was that the unity in heaven was destroyed because they had 1/3 over here and 2/3 over here. And so he says, now I got to restore the unity to heaven. So you know what I'm going to do with you? I'm going to cast you out of heaven so that my unity can be restored. That's how important unity is. So what Paul is saying is you and I have, as part of our vocation, to work really hard to make sure the unity of the Spirit is working in us and in this body. So I'm going to ask you a question. The words that come out of our mouth, when we're talking to somebody, our neighbors, fellow people in this congregation, the pastors, are the words bringing unity? Or are they bringing a spreading apart? I don't know about you, but guilty. Come on, let's get real. Come on. If we're going to get unity, then we got to think about what our job is. That's endeavoring. That means today when I get up, my job is to make sure that I'm working to pull this body together. Amen. My job is to pull my family together. Amen. My job is to pull people at my job together. Because you see, if there's disharmony, if there is a splitting, then it's from the devil. Amen. Now, do we want to be walking with the devil? No. Then we better be endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Amen. So that means every day I got to be getting up and saying, okay, Lord, point me in the right direction. Who do I got to go speak to today? And what he says in his word, he says, if you got aught with your brother, don't even come down to this altar and pray. Because that aught that you got with your brother is going to hinder your prayers from getting to me. Amen. That's how important having unity is. Now you're all looking at me like, okay, Chip, we've heard this before. Okay, I know you've heard it. But are you letting it sink in and are we working on it? I've been working on it. Ever since this scripture jumped out at me, I've been working on it at work. I have been working on it in my family. I've been working on it in this church. I've been working on it in everything I do. Amen. Now, I can't do it by myself. If you guys got up every morning and was working on the unity in this church and everybody in here was working on the unity in this church, how long would it take before all of us were walking in unity? So if we're still not walking in the unity like we should be, then we still got something to work on, right? Amen. Then are we walking worthy of the vocation we've been called to? No, we're not, because we're not working on it the way that we should be. What God says is, I wish, or Jesus says, I wish you were one as the Father and I are one. Man, there's something to be said. When the day of Pentecost came, they were in one place and they were of one mind and they were of one accord and the Holy Spirit fell on them. Why? Because they were all together as one. They were all together as one. And it's not my job as the pastor to create a unity. It's all of us working together. It's that is what causes the unity to come. Listen, if I know I got a problem with Matt, whose responsibility is it to go to Matt and try to work it out? I know how to fix it, Glenn. I'm having a problem with Matt, and I don't know what to do. Maybe we should just get rid of this guy, okay? Now, Sherry, I know you're a prayer warrior. Will you pray that God changes Matt's heart, okay?
Pray for both of you.
Oh, you're going to pray for both of us? Yeah, but especially him, because what he's doing is just totally wrong. And Bill, you're one of the counseling pastors, so can you please go counsel with him and said, can you go get that fixed for me? Huh? Now, how am I doing with fixing the problem? Matt, I love you. And I'm a part of the body of Christ and so are you. And it says that you and I need to endeavor and work together. I don't know what the issue is, but man, I love you. And let's work this out. And let's not give the devil any room to get any room in our hearts, in our lives. Okay? Let's you and I work this out and make this happen. When that happens, now what's happening? Unity. And now I'm walking worthy. Did this thing shut off or is it still going? Huh? It's on? Okay, I can't hear it. Maybe my hearing aids went dead. I don't know. Okay? But we have a job, and if we're going to walk worthy of the vocation which we've called, we've got to endeavor every day, and we got to watch every word that comes out of our mouth and make sure that it's bringing unity to the body of Christ. Amen. And if it ain't, what's coming out of our mouth ain't from God, it's from the devil. Oh, come on. That's all I get. Oh, yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's right, Glenn. So what do we want coming out of our mouth? The words of God or the words of the devil?
Words of God.
So that words of unity and in the bond of peace should be coming out. When I go to Matt like that, what happens? It diffuses the situation. There's peace coming to the situation. The scriptures say where there's a fire, remove the wood. And the fire goes out. But if I go down through there, all I'm doing is making a bonfire. And I'm never going to get that fire to go out. And I'm never going to have that bond of peace. My responsibility to go to Matt and say, hey, I got a problem. You got a problem. We got something happening in our lives that shouldn't be happening. Let's fix it. And let's make sure that we just have nothing but Christ coming out of our life. And let's not give the devil any room to get a foothold in our life or in this church. How about an amen to that?
Amen.
Okay. I don't want the devil getting any foothold in this church.
Amen.
I don't want the devil getting any foothold in you. And I'm going to endeavor every day to make sure what comes out of me is working to bring unity to you and I.
Amen.
Will you promise me to help me do that?
Amen.
All right. Now we're going to get someplace. All right. Let's go to the next one. There is one body and one spirit. Even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Again, what's that? That's the unity. And we're all called into one hope. Man, you were lost, Matt. Glenn, you were lost. Sherry, you were lost. I was lost. And then hope came along. And that hope that I'm relying on is the same hope that you're relying on. And we should walk worthy of that hope by not disparaging it by the words that come out of our mouth. Go on to the next slide. There's only one Lord. Boy, here some of you speak. I'm not so sure. There's one faith. There's one baptism. Okay? One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and where? Oh, my. So, Matt, man, you and I are the same, brother. There's only one God, and the God that lives in me is the God that lives in you. And the God that gives me hope is the God that gives you hope. Forgive me. I don't know why we have this problem. And I know where it comes from. This is the most important part I want you to hear. When there's not unity, it comes from only one place. The devil. You can't like Matt. He got a goatee. Any stupid little thing that can cause us to be separated is what the old devil uses. And he's a master at deception and at lies and all of the other things. You're not worthy. Oh, he's going to tell me, Matt knows what you did, Chip. That's fine. I know what he did. And we both are covered under that same one hope, that hope of Jesus Christ, who died for us and forgave us of our sins. And now we can have a relationship one with another through the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Right? Amen. As soon as I start to judge Matt, the Bible says, be careful. Because as you've judged Matt, guess what you're doing to yourself? And if you don't believe that I can forgive Matt, then by golly, guess what? I am not going to forgive you. Wow. Those words coming out of my mouth carry a lot of power. Amen. Do we understand the kind of power those words coming out of our mouth carry? That's why he says, walk worthy of the vocation which you've been called. The scriptures tell me this. One day I am going to give an account for every idle word that comes out of my mouth. So any of the words that are coming out of my mouth that are just idle, or they're bringing disharmony to the body, to my relationships with others, or in my family, I am going to give an account for those. That's a pretty heavy responsibility. So, you know what I was always taught? Before you speak, think. You know what happens to me, though? Before people are even done speaking, I've already got my answer prepared, and I'm already speaking before they even finish. And most of the time, it's from my emotions. What I should really be saying is, why is this response coming to me the way that it is, and what have I done, and what can I do to bring harmony and peace to this situation? What can I do to bring unity to this situation? Because he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And guess what? That same God that's in me is in every one of you in this room that asked him into your life. We're all the same. We all have one God. And he's through all and in all of us. Man, we are one. He made us one. You know, the old devil's job is to keep there trying to divide and divide and divide and divide and divide us. And he can pick some of the stupidest stuff that he can bring to your mind to try to divide us. And as soon as that gets in there, you know what you need to do? Get out of there, devil. I'm not going to give any room to you in my mind. I'm going to go wash my mind again with the reading of the word. And the word says, by golly, I got to work and endeavor to create unity. So devil, when you bring that negative thought to me, get out. In staff meeting, we have this. When something negative comes up, what that mean? They're doing it in the back to me already. Stop. Stop. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear the negativity. If you got a problem with somebody else and you start talking about it, I'm going to do this. Stop. I don't want to hear it, and you shouldn't be speaking it. You better go get it fixed right now, because we got to be working on that unity. Okay, let's go to the next one. I think I got that one. Now, here's what he always does, though. Okay, we got one God, we got one faith, we got one baptism, we're all made one God, that same God is in all of us, and we're endeavoring to keep the unity. But, I love these things, but, you're all one, but, every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Okay, stay right there a second. I want you, if you don't get anything else out of this message today, okay, I want you to get this one, all right? I know that John is in need of gas for his car, okay? So I say, hey, John, I know you're in need of gas for your car, and so I'm going to give you $100 for this month to get through the month with $100. Now, how long is that $100 going to last him for gas? Huh?
Not long.
Oh, and he just immediately gave it to his wife, so he's already without gas. Okay, so he can only get gas to the measure in which I give him $100. You got that? And when $100 is gone after the first day of driving, okay, then he's saying, okay, I need more gas. But the $100 is gone. And he's putting his hand out saying, I need another $100. But now, if I would go to John and say, hey, John, I know you're in the need of gas, and here, I want to give you this. This is my credit card. And it's unlimited. I have no spending limit on my credit card. That went in his wallet, not to his wife, by the way.
You can have my credit card.
I get your credit card.
Good trade.
That says prepaid Visa. What's that? $50?
Oh, no. My debit card.
Now listen to me. It says I give grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. What's the gift of Christ worth? It's immeasurable.
Amen.
So when will grace ever run out in our life? Just as I need gas in my car every day, I need grace in my life every day. And because of the grace that God gives, and it's immeasurable, man, good news is it never runs out. I said today when I got up, I was never going to do anything wrong today, and I didn't even get out of the house, and I'd already done 4 things wrong. My wife come and said something, and instead of having the right response that brought unity, I gave the wrong response. After I said I'm going to endeavor to work on unity. So what do I need? I need grace. Now, I know I'm the only one in this congregation that needs grace, right? None of the rest of you need grace. Marvin's up there. Yes, you're the only one that needs grace. Sheila, am I the only one that needs grace? Okay, now the truth is coming out, okay? But how much grace do we get? Unmeasurable, never ending. All that we need according to the gift of Christ. It's unlimited. Hallelujah! Amen. Hallelujah! The grace that saved me 50 years ago is still the same grace that I'm counting on, and it's still the same grace, hopefully, 40 years from now, I'm still going to be using. It's unmeasurable.
Amen.
I'm going to be walking in it all this time. He gave that to us. He gave us that grace for those of us who are accepted Christ into our life. So what's the next one say? Therefore, he said... Now, this one here, I blew past this one twice. And the Lord says, man, you're blowing over the most important scripture that there is. And man, I said, I don't see it, Lord, help me. And he says, therefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, go to the next one. Now that he ascended, what is it but he also descended first into the lower part of the earth? Okay, so what this is saying, if I can go backwards one. Now that he has ascended, who's he talking about? Christ. He's talking about Jesus. And when the apostles were watching him, he ascended into the heavens and were taken up into heaven. Okay? And he was gone. He was where first, though? Go to the next one. He that descended is the same. So Christ is Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God himself in the form of man, in the form of Jesus Christ, came down and was living amongst us. You don't get excited that the God of heaven came down from heaven to dwell amongst us? Huh? Huh? Now listen to me. He that descended is the same also that ascended up above all the heavens. That what? Oh, boy. You see, here, I want to stop you here, and I want to explain this to you real quick. Anybody remember the story of Adam and Eve? Mm-hmm. Adam and Eve, man, they lived in the garden. God would come down in the cool of the evening and spend time with Adam and Eve. Man, and they didn't have clothes on. They didn't have jobs. They just lived a life of paradise. Nothing was right. Nothing was wrong. Just everything was good. Everything was good. You know why I know it was good? Because when God created the heavens and the earth, he looked back and he said, oh, it is good. Man, can you imagine that? They're living in paradise. There's no rules. There's no regulations. They don't know the difference between right and wrong. And then all of a sudden, they come and they say, the serpent says, oh, ha, behold that fruit. Isn't it pretty? Oh, and it was the most beautiful fruit in all the garden. Oh, God says, don't eat that or I'll die. Oh, surely you won't die. And the old serpent, the old devil, deceived her into eating it. And as soon as she did, what was that tree called? The fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. So as soon as they knew the difference between right and wrong, guess what? God had to lay forth the rules. And he had to go to Skip, and he had to say, now, Skip, these are the things you must do if you want to attain eternal life. I'm going to give you all of these rules, and I already know you can't follow any of them.
Amen.
But I'm going to give them all to you, and if you want to get into heaven, you got to follow these rules. I mean, if I had to follow those rules to get into heaven, I'd have to quit after day one.
Amen.
I wouldn't make it. But here was Jesus, and what did he do? Which one of those laws did he break? So what did Jesus fulfill when he was here? He fulfilled the
law.
He fulfilled all things in the way that he lived his life. He fulfilled all things in the way that he laid his life down for us. He fulfilled all things so that we don't have to. Oh, I guess you guys just still want to live by the law. This is what sets us free from the law. And this is why grace works. You guys are all looking at me like I'm speaking in French or something. Are you getting this at all? Huh? He has fulfilled the law so we don't have to. And when I break the law, guess what I get? Unlimited grace to cover it up. Hallelujah. There is a chance for me. There is a hope for me. I don't have to be perfect. Now, I got to practice righteousness. The reason he calls it practice is because I'll never get it right.
Amen.
But I keep trying and I keep trying. And when I don't get it right, he says, here's some more of my unmeasurable grace. Go back and keep going. I've already fulfilled the law. And I've taken that captivity captive. What was I captive to? I was captive to the law. That's what kept me knowing that I was within sin. That's why I had to keep killing all those animals in the Old Testament to cover up my sin. Not to get forgiveness of it, but to cover it up. But when Christ came, he who was above looked down and says, they need me. Send me, Lord. I'll go. And he goes down. And he walks amongst us and lives a perfect life. And what was our thanks to him? We crucified him. Now, here's what he showed me. That crucifixion chip doesn't hurt as bad. He said, I longed for that crucifixion because I wanted to share my blood for you because I love you. That crucifixion doesn't hurt me as bad as some of those words of discord you sow. Oh, boy. Tear
in my heart. God, forgive me. You don't think you do it? How about your boss at work? Ever do anything you don't like, and what do you say? People can't wait to get together and talk about their boss, right? Bringing unity and peace. I want you to think about that. And that's like adding stripes to Christ's back. Because we know better than that. He fulfilled the law for us. He gives us grace. We're supposed to be practicing righteousness. We're supposed to be endeavoring to walk worthy of the vocation which he's called us. He called us to be Christians. And then not only Christians, but he's given us jobs within there. And as we're walking, we need to walk worthy, and we need to be careful of what's coming out of our mouth. You want to hear this place get all tore up? All I got to do is start talking politics in here. And everybody will have an opinion. And none of us will be together. There'll be a small pocket over here. It'll be this way and a small pocket. And there'll be discourse all over the place. Amen. It's one of the greatest tools the devil ever invented. You know what I do? I said, hey, I don't have to worry about it because there's no power that God didn't put there. And I'm not going to argue with you about who's in power and who's not in power, because the person that's there is supposed to be there because God put him there. Amen. And whatever he's doing is what he's supposed to be doing, whether I like it or not. And I need to be speaking unity, and I need to be guarding myself that the devil don't get a foothold. But boy, oh boy, do we love to get to that TV at nighttime or the newspaper to find out what happened today. And what's it do to us? Oh, my golly, we got to do something. Yeah, we got to do something. We better get on our face before God and start to worship him and say, God, you are good. You've done for me more than I could ever expect. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for setting me free from this world. Thank you that you took captivity captive, and I'm no longer a part of this world. I'm in it, but I'm no longer of it. I'm with you, Father, and you're in control of everything. And now what's coming out of my mouth is unity and praise for the Father, saying, God, you're good. And when I'm doing that, man, I forget about all this other crap. And I say, I feel bad for all you guys that are all stirred up. He is in all, through all, and it's for him all. Nothing that's happening out there ain't happening by chance or by circumstance. He's orchestrated it all. And my job is just to walk in it and thank him for it. And my job is not to bring discord, but to bring unity to the body of Christ. Amen. Look at this country today. One nation, under God, indivisible. Oh boy, we are all screwed up on that one, aren't we? Huh? When the forefathers got together, before they did anything, they said, let us pray. Let us seek God before we write this constitution. God gave each of us inalienable rights. We got certain rights. But they were acknowledging God, and they were working to create one nation under God. And now somehow the old devil's gotten involved, and we ain't one nation under God anymore. And boy, there are so many different factions in this country. It's unbelievable. It's going to take a miracle of God to get it started and change. And you know how it's going to change? By the church coming alive and walking in unity the way that it's supposed to. Because he says God has called him unto himself a peculiar people, zealous for good works. And bringing unity is good works. Okay, let's go to the next one. And he gave some jobs, callings, some as apostles, some as prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Why did he give those things? Go to the next one real quick. Why do we have these jobs, callings placed on our lives? Go to the next one, please. For the perfecting of the saints. When we come to Christ, we become one of his. If we want to become perfect, we got to have all five of those things working in this church. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. It says that we got to have, if we're going to get perfected in here, we got to have all five of these going for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Okay, I'm going to take the last one first, and I'm going to make this easy. She left me already. Carmen comes to me the other day and she says, Chip, you're not going to believe this. What? She said, there was a lady in here from Arizona. And she said, she came up to me and she says, I got a word from God for you. And she says, you know, I was feeling very discouraged. She sits right here, so I'm going to stand right here where she normally sits. She said, I was feeling discouraged. I'm tired. I got MS myself. I'm trying to take care of my mother. I got other people I'm trying to take care of. And man, I was feeling tired. I was feeling weighed down. I was feeling beat up. And I didn't feel like anybody cared. And then this woman who was visiting our church came up and says, hey, I got a word from God for you. God said he's well pleased in what you're doing and taking care of your mom. She said, how do you know I got a mom? She said, I don't know you got a mom. God just told me that he's well pleased in the way you're taking care of your mom. And she said, man, my face lit up. And man, I was excited that God knew that I was taking care of my mom and that God was excited about the way I was taking care of my mom. For the edifying and the building up of the body of Christ. Jeannie Conti's getting ready to go in for surgery the other day, and she's studying up scriptures in the Bible, and she says, Chip, I'm looking for this one scripture, and I'm looking for this one scripture, and I can't find this scripture, and I cry out to God. I said, God, help me find that scripture. And then somebody sitting right back over there says, I picked up the phone and I called Jeannie. And they said, Jeannie, here's the address for a scripture you're looking for. That was you, right? And you gave Jeannie Conti that scripture, that verse, and she found it, and she says, oh, praise God, thank you. And you know what she said at that moment? She said, isn't it awesome that God loves us so much that he took time out of his day to point me in the right direction to find that scripture? That's the importance of prophecy. When you have a word from God for somebody, you better go speak it. But now, a word of God is never negative. It's for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's for the lifting up of the body of Christ. It's for the building up of the body of Christ. I don't know about you, but from time to time, guess what? I need building up. Okay, I'm going to tell on myself. I was up here the other day and we were all praying, you know, and everything else. And I don't remember what Sunday it was, but we were all down here praying. And Marty comes up to me and she says, hey, I got a word from God from you. Good. I love those words from God. And in that word, she said, God has prepared you. He has empowered you. He's placed you. But you aren't walking in the confidence that God gave you. Now go out and walk in the confidence, young man, and watch what God does. I thought, man, Lord, how right on. I needed that. And I went home and I said, thank you, Lord, for confirming your word and your calling on my life. How many have ever had any prophecy like that spoken into your life? And how has it changed you? It made you worse or better? Better. So if we're going to get perfected, we need to have somebody lift us up when we're not doing well. And it's not the person that's given the prophecy. It's hearing from God. He's your biggest cheerleader.
Amen.
And if we're going to get to where we need to get to, we better have that prophecy going on in this church again. Because some of you are called to be prophets. Because you know how I know that? Because it says up there, some of you are called to be prophets. Okay, so here's what I think is really interesting. If you would go back, and I don't know if I can do this or not to you guys. I just want to get to this one last part. Okay, go back one more. One more. There you go. Apostles and some prophets. Apostles like a guy that's the jack of all trades. He's over everything. Okay? And I'm going to wind this up. I'm not going to get through the rest of it for you. Okay? But the apostle is the jack of all trades. What's the second one he gives us? You know why? Because Kathy's going to need an encouragement. John, he already got his encouragement. He got $100 and my credit card this morning. Okay? So as we go through life, which one of us don't need to have encouragement? And God says, as you're going on this journey and this walk with me, I know you're going to need encouragement. So I'm going to place some people in the body of Christ that I'm going to speak to from time to time, and they're going to go forth and they're going to give that word of encouragement. Isn't that exciting to know God loves us that much that he's going to do that for us? That's the second thing he gives us. So right after we get saved, he says, I'm going to give you this word of encouragement. Then he gives us evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. And I'm going to ask a question. Is it okay if I stop here?
Yeah.
Okay? Because I don't want to hurry through this. Are you getting anything from this?
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that what I'm going to do is pray us out of here. I'm not going to do any calling. I'm just going to ask you to do one thing as I pray. I want you to ask yourself, this past week, just think about this past week. The things that came out of my mouth, did they bring unity or did they bring discord? Am I walking worthy? Did I say something negative about the leadership of this country? Did I say something negative about the leadership of this church? Did I say something negative about the leadership at the church, at work? Did I say something negative to my spouse? Why is Karen laughing in your ear like that, Bill? Yeah.
It would take a long time to answer.
It would take a long time to answer. I know. Do you want to get serious about walking worthy in the calling that God's given us? It's as simple as guarding what comes out of our mouth. And before we speak, we should be saying, is this going to bring unity or is this going to bring discord? And if it's discord, then we're given room for the devil. And then instead of being walking worthy, we're walking unworthy. And as I was down here, he said, Chip, that hurt me more than hanging on that cross for you. I did all of this for you, and you can't even help me bring unity. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I'm going to pray for us, mostly for me. Okay? If you would just bow your head, close your eyes. Father, forgive me. You have done it all. You have paid it all. You are in it all. And you are in all of us. And Father, we have a choice. We have a choice to follow you and what you ask us to do, or we can still let the world get into our lives. Father, I don't know about anybody else, but right now I don't want the world in my life. I want more of you in my life. And Father, you're telling me there's some things in my life that I got to work on. And one of them is whether I'm working to create unity in every situation that I'm in, or am I sowing seeds of discord? And if I'm sowing seeds of discord, then I still haven't been converted yet to the way that you want to convert me. And I'm still not walking worthy of the vocation with which you've called me. Forgive me. Forgive all of those that are praying right along with me right now as we reflect back on our weeks, our days, and maybe even today. I was laughing because, Father, I remember at the staff meeting, one of them says, hey, on Sunday morning, sometimes my wife and I fight even before we get here. And then we come in here and we try to make much about you after giving place to the devil. Father, forgive us. Help us. Today, Father, we make a commitment to you to guard our lips, to think before we speak. Is what coming out of my mouth today going to be pleasing to you or pleasing to the devil? Am I going to be bringing unity to a situation or am I going to be bringing more discord? Help us, Father, to remember this word this week as we go forth and for the rest of our life. And help us to apply this to our life this week, so that, Father, we can walk worthy of the calling which you've called us to walk. So, Father, thank you for this word today. You know, sometimes these words, they hurt a little bit. But, Father, you remind us whom you love, you chasten. So, Father, thank you for loving me enough to point it out when I do it. And then thank you, Father, that you remind me every man is justified in his own mind. Help me not to be justified, but to fall down on my face and just say, Father, forgive me. I need some more of that unlimited grace. Help me. I'm trying. I don't have it right yet, but I'm going to try harder. So thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer this morning. Thank you, Father, for helping us all to try harder to bring unity to every situation in which we walk, so that we can be worthy of the calling with which you called us. Thank you for this message this morning. Now thank you for this vote that's coming up, Father. And Father, what I pray is that we listen to this message today. And when we go to vote, Father, may these things that we do bring unity and not discourse. May we not forget it even before we get started with this week. We invite you into this situation. We invite you into our lives, and we invite you to help us with this. And Father, thank you that you're there and you're going to help us. And as we improve, we're going to give you the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. We're going to have a short congregational meeting. For those of you who are members, if you could stay for just 2 seconds, this will not take long. If you're not a member, you are dismissed.